Welcome to another episode of Connection Point with John Shields, the lead pastor of The Gathering, a Christian community that meets at Holly Hill Mall in Burlington, North Carolina.
Well, good morning, Maverick kinfolk, and welcome to the broadcast on another Lord's Day that God has given. It is a day that we will rejoice and we will be glad in it. And I appreciate you so much taking the time on Sunday mornings to tune in to The Gathering, a Christian community. I hope that you're listening to some of the other faith communities that are on before us and after us. And we appreciate Maverick Radio continuing to offer this platform for us here in Alamance County. Well, if you've been listening, today is part six of a series that I'm teaching currently. The title of that series is A Compassionate Call to Counter Culture. A Compassionate Call to Counter Culture. Now, I'm sure that you are aware, I don't have to convince anyone that's listening, that our culture is disintegrating before our very eyes. Anything that is good, decent, pure, right, is under attack. In fact, being a Christian these days, someone said, is really becoming socially unacceptable. And you see that taking place. Some of the things that I have read this week in the news, I hope actually that you haven't seen them, because they are so blasphemous and such a mockery of the things of God and His Word that it's frightening to see that we are now at this level of those things that are not just tolerated but are accepted and are promoted. And that's why I'm doing this series. I really feel, as a pastor teacher, just this necessity, a sense of a calling. I'm compelled, really, to talk about these things, to encourage Christian people. There's so much coming at us so fast that we can lose our footing. We can become discouraged. We can decide to just retreat from it all and not be engaged. And that's certainly not what we should do. We should definitely stay engaged. And that's why I'm talking about these things here, week six. And as you know, last Lord's Day, I introduced you to the book of Daniel, because Daniel and his three friends were involved in a culture that is very much akin to the U.S. So I want to read you what a great writer and minister named Alistair Begg wrote about the book of Daniel. It is a record of what happened to God's people in the heart of an empire set up to deny and to defy God. That would be the nation of Babylon. The story of the exiles told through the particular stories of four men are in the book of Daniel. If and when we feel that our society is heading in a similar direction, that it looks more like Babylon than it does Jerusalem, and increasingly so, this is the story that shows us how we can live with confidence and courage in such a world. So that's what I'm trying to help us with, to live with confidence and courage in a world that has lost its way. And we're in overdrive, heading in the wrong direction. I just want to give a brief intro again to the context of what's going on in the book of Daniel. Daniel and his four friends were from Jerusalem in Israel. But because of Israel's disobedience to God, after many, many years and many, many warnings, God allows a foreign army to be an arm coming against them to judge them. And that arm was the Babylonian Empire. It was a ruthless, sinful, ungodly place. and they come into Jerusalem. They attack it. It starts in 605 BC and lasts until 586 BC, and they destroy everything, the temple, all things sacred. They take the gold from the temple. They take it back to Babylon, and they actually export and exile a large number of Jews back to this, quote, foreign land, end quote, of Babylon. And that's what this story is about, Daniel and his four friends. And he took them. They were the cream of the crop, if you will. They were smart, handsome, proficient young men that he wanted to change them from Jewish boys to Babylonian servants of his. So he trained them for 3 years in literature, their customs, all of these things is part of their indoctrination. But in verse 8 of chapter 1, and I title this, Obey God and Trust the Consequences to Him. That's a famous line that Charles Stanley talked and lived. Obey God and trust the consequences to Him. And that's what David and his friends did. And may we be encouraged by this. In Daniel 1, verse 8, it says, But Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine, and he asked the chief priest for permission not to defile himself this way. Now God had caused the official to show favor and compassion to Daniel. But the official told Daniel, I am afraid of my lord the king, who has assigned your food and drink. Why should he see you looking worse than the other young men your age? The king would then have my head because of you. And Daniel then said to the guard, whom the chief official had appointed over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, Please, let your servants for 10 days give us nothing but vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then compare our appearance with that of the young men who eat the royal food, and treat your servants in accordance with what you see. So he agreed to this and tested them for 10 days. At the end of the 10 days, they looked healthier and better nourished than any of the young men who ate the royal food. So the guard took away their choice food and the wine they were to drink, and gave them vegetables instead. To these four young men, God gave knowledge and understanding of all kinds of literature and learning. And Daniel could understand visions and dreams of all kinds. And at the end of the time set by the king to bring them into his service, the chief official presented them to King Nebuchadnezzar. The king talked with them, and he found none equal to these four. So they entered the king's service. And every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king questioned them, he found that 10 times they were 10 times better than all the magicians and the enchanters in his whole kingdom. And Daniel remained there until the first year of King Cyrus. Now, we learn several things from this story. First, Daniel and his companions decided to obey God. It says that they resolved not to disobey God. They resolved not to defile themselves. They were going to obey God and trust the consequences to Him. And that's something in this day in which we're living, all of the pressure that's put upon us by peer groups, sometimes even family, everywhere around us to deny or to maybe not take our faith quite so serious or to compromise our convictions. In the days in which we're living, God is not calling us to weaken, but to strengthen our convictions. So, Daniel and his companions trusted in the sovereignty of God. There wasn't anything they could do. They were taken from the land of Jerusalem. They were placed in exile in a foreign country. They were taught their literature and their language. Their names were changed, but it came to a point that they were lying, that they were not going to cross when it came to their dietary laws and their convictions, which were very, very significant to the Jews. And they said, we're not going to cross that line. And so in a very nice way, they presented an alternative to those that were in charge of them and said, hey, look, I'll just do a little test, 10 days, right? Just test us and let's see. And they knew what the result of that was going to be. They trusted in the plan of God. In Proverbs 3, you will recall a very familiar passage. It says in verse 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to Him, and He will make your path straight. Now, we all know there is lots of things in this life that we don't understand. And the Bible tells us, listen, lean not to your own understanding, your own natural mind. Trust in the Lord completely. And whether or not you understand what's happening or not, submit to Him and He will make your paths straight. In Acts chapter 4, we run into an encounter where Peter and John had been arrested for telling people about Jesus and healing someone. And the leaders called them in and commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, which is right in God's eyes, to listen to you or to Him? You be the judges. As for us, we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard. And so, in a way, that's what Daniel and his friends are doing. They are there. They're not creating trouble. They are just saying, we're going to trust our God. And this is not going to come back on you. Just do this experiment and God will validate what we are saying. And He did. They trusted God and He made their path straight. In Hebrews chapter 11, it says, faith is confidence in what we hope for, and it is assurance of what we do not see. You see, Daniel and his friends exercised confidence in what we hope for and the assurance about what they did not see as they trusted God in this very hostile, evil country they were placed in. In the Old Testament book of 1 Chronicles, there's an interesting passage as it's going through the various tribes of Israel, and it's making these designations and these descriptions about each one. When it comes to verse 32, it says that the men from Issachar understood the times, and they knew what Israel should do. So that's, again, that's why we're talking about this. That's why we're spending so much time. This is the sixth week, because we want to understand the times, and we want to know what we should do in these times in which we're living. I want to read you something from the late Tim Keller, a great pastor and author, talking about this. And here's the question. How does this guide what we see in Daniel, our own stance toward our pagan culture that we live in? And he writes, first, Daniel models to us that we cannot simply rely on keeping the Christian rules. The food was not against the rules, but in some way Daniel knew that eating the food would pull his heart away from the complete commitment to the Lord toward other idolatrous commitments in that land, that it would become easier. Everyone must watch for the same dangers. We have to know our own hearts and the true idols of our culture. In traditional cultures, the idols are family or ancestors, tribal connections, duty, and custom. In more God-absent cultures, the idols are personal fulfillment, status, beauty, and power, much like our culture. Then there are intellectual idols of all sorts that reign in different times and eras. It's not the formal idols of other religions, but the idols of the heart that can be smuggled into our lives, even when we formally subscribe to right doctrine and ethics. Second, by keeping their commitment to the Lord rather than falling into idol commitments, the young men came to see through the wisdom of the Babylonians. They became masters of it rather than being mastered by it. They understood it thoroughly, like the men of Issachar. But they also saw its weakness. They saw the limits and errors of the wisdom of so-called wisdom of Babylon. What a model. We too must not separate from the pagan culture, but must come to understand all it teaches. We must expose the false, bankrupt commitments of the root of all non-believing systems of thought. Then we too become masters of wisdom. And third, they need to see the fruit of God's wisdom in our lives. People do, unbelievers around us and believers alike. They want to see how our family, our business, our psychological lives are all under the lordship of Christ. The chief official learned respect for the God of Israel because he saw the fruit of the Lord's service concretely in the health, the understanding, and the character of those young men. And he also saw Daniel's courage in taking that stand. This is the best witness. Do our lives have anything remarkable or different about them? Is our character and wisdom different from anyone else's? If we have to tell an unbeliever why we are different, can we do so as winsome as Daniel did? We must not imbibe the world's education and values while superficially and formally keeping God's rules, or this privatization of our faith that some like to call it. Nor should we keep ourselves in Christian ghettos disengaged from the culture. That's called the separation of faith. Rather, we must be immersed and engaged in the culture, mastering its wisdom and remembering who we are as God's people. Remember, Jesus told the disciples, "I am sending you out like sheep among wolves. Therefore, be as shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves." That is the setting God has called us, the posture to be in as we engage this world. Now, the drama continues. King Nebuchadnezzar, an evil king, had a dream, and he did not know what the meaning was. So he called in all of these counselors and magicians and asked them to decipher the dream, to tell him what it meant. And they couldn't. And he had them all killed. And then he found out about Daniel and his friends. And watch what happened in Daniel chapter 2. The king asked Daniel, "Are you able to tell me what I saw in my dream and interpret it?" And Daniel replied, "No wise man, no enchanter, no magician, no diviner can explain to the king the mystery he is asked about. But watch this. But there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries." Man, isn't that great? There he was in the ultimate pagan country, standing before the pagan king Nebuchadnezzar, who could not understand what the dream interpretation was, what it meant for him. And there is this Hebrew young man, probably 20 years old, maybe a little older, standing before him. And Daniel says, "Look, in the natural realm, in the realm in which you're looking, it can't be done. But there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries. He has shown King Nebuchadnezzar what will happen in days to come. Your dream and the visions that passed your mind as you were lying in bed are these." And then he began to interpret the dream for him. See how God strategically placed and used Daniel there in the court of the king to represent him well. In the New Testament book of 1 Peter, he says this, "Who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear their threats. Do not be frightened. But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have." Daniel did this, "but do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. For it is better, if it is God's will, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil." And he did just that. What a model of this scripture, that Daniel, in the worst of circumstances, with all the cultural pressure to give in and be like one of those magicians, or one of those diviners, he says, "No, no, no. I can tell you about a God in heaven. He knew him, who reveals mysteries." And you keep reading, it's fascinating how God told Daniel as they prayed, him, he and his friends, what the dream was and how to interpret it. You see, here it is again. Obey God and trust all the consequences to him. Now, I'm going to end today with words not by me, but from a theologian named Warren Wiersbe, writing about this book of Daniel. Today's society is a good deal like the one Daniel lived in centuries ago. The world still wants God's people to conform to its standards and to follow its practices, to which God's word responds, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Daniel and his friends obeyed that admonition. We should obey it today. We need Christians who have the faith and the courage to be resolute. As we study the book Daniel wrote for us, we'll meet Daniel's God, the sovereign Lord, who rules in the kingdom of the world, and who confidently announces things to come. In Daniel's life and ministry, we see how true believers live in the light of biblical prophecy and how they relate to the sovereign Lord and accomplish his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Studying the prophecies that Daniel wrote is important, but we should also seek to understand the life that Daniel lived. Knowing God's future plan and obeying God's present will should go together. The key to Daniel's successful life and ministry is given in Daniel 1:8. Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. He was a resolute man. He wasn't intimidated by powerful people or frightened by difficult circumstances. But what was the source of this man's courage and his resolute heart? Here are some of the things that were foundational for Daniel. He believed in a sovereign God. The Most High rules in the kingdom of men, it's written. It's one of the basic truths taught in the book of Daniel. Dictators and petty politicians may have thought they were in control, but Daniel knew better. As a devoted Jew, he understood there was but one true God, the Lord Jehovah, and that he ruled all things with wisdom and power. The Babylonians changed Daniel's address, his name, his education, and they tried to change his standards, but they couldn't change his theology. He had a disciplined prayer life. When Daniel and his friends needed to know Nebuchadnezzar's dream and understand it, they gave themselves to prayer. And when the Lord gave them the answer, they prayed further and thanked him. When Daniel's life was in danger, he went to his home and prayed, and the Lord delivered him from the lions. Frequently, Daniel asked the Lord or his messengers for wisdom to understand the visions the Lord gave to him. Daniel depended on prayer. He studied the word of God and he believed it. When Daniel and his friends left Jerusalem for Babylon, they carried with them some of the scrolls of the Old Testament scriptures. We know that Daniel studied the prophecies of Jeremiah, and we can assume that these godly young men had other portions of God's word with them as well. He also understood spiritual warfare. We see that later on as he wrestles in prayer. Daniel's name means God is my judge. Daniel lived his life before the all-seeing eyes of the Lord, and he did the things that pleased him, and he gives us a great example for living. Beloved, I'm challenging us today, as I challenge myself reading the book of Daniel, that we will trust in Daniel's God, our God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the Father God of our Savior, Jesus Christ, and that we will walk resolutely, confidently, humbly with the sovereign God of the universe, and that we will represent Him well in this world, that we will be a light, and that we will be a shining light. We will be salt in a world that so desperately needs the representation or the example or the model of what it looks like to follow God. I want to be that man, and I believe and trust that you want to be that person as well. That's why you're listening today. Well, God bless you. Live for Jesus this week. Love other people, and I hope to be back again on the next Lord's Day.
Well, that's it for this episode of Connection Point with John Shields. Thank you for taking the time to join us today. We hope that today's episode has caused you to draw closer to the Lord and your walk with Him. If you'd like to know more about The Gathering, a Christian Community, you can find us on the web at www.thegatheringachristiancommunity.org. You can also find us on Facebook and on YouTube. We hope that you have a great week, and may God bless you.